What I want to do tonight is I want to take you through Scripture. And I want to show you some things from the Word of God to where you can guarantee your blessings. Guaranteed. Somebody said, well, Brother Martin, I already know how to do that. Just pass that offering plate, bless God. I'll guarantee my blessings. No. I'm talking about how you can guarantee your blessings even if you don't have a penny in your pocket. So let's start. Turn over to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. We'll be starting in Psalms. We'll be working through Psalms and headed toward the other end of the Bible. Psalm chapter 1. Look here. Verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. There it is. Blessed is the man who doesn't do these things, and who does these other. Now you'll notice there's nothing in here about an offering. See it? And in spite of the fact there's nothing in here about an offering, he goes so far to say that if you will, you know, avoid doing the verse 1 things, but do the verse 2 things, you're going to end up, verse 3, whatever you do shall prosper. Whatever you do shall prosper. Not just financially. Everything that you do. That means your business shall prosper. Your marriage shall prosper. Your ability to be a parent or a husband or a wife shall prosper. Everything in your life shall prosper, shall increase, shall become better. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. A lot of people would say, well, I don't do any of those things. But look at this from God's perspective. You can't walk in the counsel of those who speak anything that doesn't line up with the Word of God. Blessed are those who don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. You do understand there are a lot of people in churches who will give you ungodly counsel. There are a lot of people in church. I mean, I've heard Christians talking about, you know, suing people to get their way for stuff, telling other Christians to sue, you know, get revenge, they're going to pay for this, whatever. He says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That means you don't even hang around these people. People who refuse to stand in the way of sinners. People who refuse to sit in the seat of the scornful. In other words, if there are people out there who have things about their lives that don't line up with my word, it doesn't mean that they have to be drunken bums and drug users and adulterers and all that. If they just don't line up with the word of God. He's saying don't walk, stand, or sit. In other words, don't make them your best buddies. Now, granted, you're going to have some kind of fellowship with the lost. How are you going to win them? You're going to have some kind of fellowship with lukewarm or backslidden Christians. Otherwise, how can you restore them? But you draw the line, and they aren't your best buds. You know, the Bible talks about iron sharpening iron. There are too many Christians. They're not hanging around to iron. They're hanging around everything but iron, and they're not being sharpened. Well, he says here, you're blessed if you avoid the verse 1 people, if your delight is, listen, in his word, and in his word do you meditate. And he says, verse 3, man, you're going to flourish. You'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You'll bring forth your fruit in your season. Your leaf won't wither. Whatever you do shall prosper. Now, I'm not going to break all verse 3 down into a lot of detail and so forth, but basically he's saying everything about your life is going to be good. Now, notice verse 3 has nothing to do with the economy. Verse 3 has nothing to do with where you live. One of the things that really, it kind of breaks my heart, when I get these emails from preachers over in Africa. And they are telling me about the horrible conditions in which they live. I got one just the other day. And in it, the man was sharing, I don't know why God is allowing this. Well, I understand. Let's use some human terms, okay? In those conditions, God may have to work a little harder. Now, you know He doesn't, okay? He can raise the dead no matter where they are. But just use human terms, the way we perceive things. When you're in that kind of a mess and there's drought and there's, you know, no food, no, I mean, just the conditions are horrible. Well, in our minds, you know, God has to work a little bit harder. Well, no, not really. He doesn't have to work harder. We have to believe harder. Because this right here, avoid the verse 1 people, do verse 2, and you're going to end up verse 3. You'll be blessed. It doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter what the conditions. You're going to be verse 3. Your life will become verse 3. You're blessed. And I just wish, oh how I wish, that all of these pastors over there on the African continent and all those countries, I wish I could just get them all together at one place at one time and spend at least 2 weeks with them. Fly over there and spend at least 2 weeks with them, teaching them all day, all night. Break every now and then to go to the restroom, break for a meal, break what? But I mean, just teach, 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 teach. And just get the word and to show them what God has said. And how that it doesn't matter where you are, you don't have to live dependent upon your circumstances. You just have to do what God has said in here. And I agree. When you live in the United States of America, it's easy to say that kind of stuff. Well, I thank God I do live in the United States of America. Regardless of our problems, I mean, I thank God for what I do have. And I hope I'm never in a situation where the conditions are as lousy. But the thing is, wherever you live, if you do all this that he says here, he's telling you, I mean, the very first word, blessed, is the man. And then he tells you how. Blessed. He's calling you blessed. If God says you're blessed when you meet these conditions, you're blessed. See, you can't stop the blessings from coming if you do this. Because if God says, blessed is the man who, and then he gives you this list, well then you just might as well sit down and reconcile it to yourself. You're going to be blessed. Now you can say you don't want to be blessed, but that's foolish. He says right here, you're blessed. I'll be blessed. And these blessings will flow down to those around me. Well, let's look at another place, Psalm chapter 34. See, you hear all this, and there's no reason from now on to be in the mully grubs. I don't know what mully grubs are, but it's a bad place from what I hear. There's no reason to be in the mully grubs. Psalm chapter 34, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Everybody says they trust Him. The real test is when stuff comes up. Then we find out how much you trust Him. If you can't speak your faith in Him when you need faith, then you never had faith to begin with. You know what I'm saying? If you can't speak your trust in Him when you need to trust Him, then you really didn't trust Him to begin with. You're just happy everything was going well. You're just happy your circumstances were fine. He says right here, Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts Him. Blessed is the man that trusts Him. Taste and see. You know, your word was like honey to my lips. Taste and see that the Lord is good. This talks about experience. This talks about relationship. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts Him. When you come to the place that you're really trusting Him and blessed and fully trusting Him and everything, you're going to be blessed. He says you'll be blessed. Worst thing you can do is stop trusting Him once you win a lottery. Now, I trust none of you are playing the lottery. But in case you are, and you hit the big one, you just remember where you go to church. See, when you trust Him, and things are going good. Look beyond the good. Pretend things aren't good. You understand what I'm getting at? And keep trusting Him. You know, God, I thank You that I have good health. I thank You that I have, you know, this thing here. I thank You everything's going fine. But God, I'm trusting You. Because I know this. Hey, back in, what was it, 1929, whenever the stock market crashed, you know, everybody went to bed one night feeling great. They woke up the next morning, banks had locked their doors and the people could not get their money. They stood out there. Have you ever seen that the movie, what's that Jimmy Stewart Christmas movie they show all the time? It's a Wonderful Life. Remember that? And remember how, you know, their bank, the stock market crashed and everybody was lined up to get their money and the cash wasn't there? And so he's, you know, paying out of his own pocket. And, you know, well, you know, if you saw the movie, you know what I'm talking about. See, you just don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. All you have, and somebody said, yes, all you have is today. No, all you have is God. All you have is God in your today. Blessed is the man who trusts Him. Look over in Psalm chapter 40. Psalm chapter 40, verse 4. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. So here I see once again that I'm blessed if I make the Lord my trust. You know one way that I could put my trust in the proud or the people that turn aside to lies? If I start trusting my offerings as the source for my blessings. He says, blessed is the man that trusts the Lord, that maketh the Lord his trust. Look what it says. How it says it? Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. That indicates a decision. You have to make the Lord the source of your trust. You can't just say, well, I'm trusting God. You have to put forth the effort to trust Him. Which means you have to fight your emotions when your emotions are telling you nothing's working, nothing's happening, everything's lousy. No, I make the Lord my trust. No matter what I'm seeing around me, I make the Lord my trust. And, you know, I'll admit, this is something you have to learn. We are so used to having candy-coated messages about faith in God and trust in God. And it's like we only hit the surface of it. That we really don't know how to trust God. It's almost like, you know, you've heard of these arranged marriages to where the parents decide when the children are young that, you know, your daughter and my son will get married. And the two kids don't even meet until they're like 18 or 21 or something like that. And then all of a sudden they're introduced to each other and they're supposed to get married. And they don't even know each other. They don't know what they can trust or not trust. They don't know what they can believe or not believe, but they're supposed to get married. And the thinking is, you'll fall in love as time goes on. I don't want to wait that long. I want to be in love before I say I do. Well, I was in love with Kathy before I said I do. And to the best of my knowledge, she was in love with me. She said I do. So we did. And we have now. Over 30 years, praise God. Well, I knew her beforehand. That's how I knew I could trust her. You have to get in there with God, and the more you're with Him, the more you understand how you can trust Him. Make Him your trust. Let's look at another verse. Psalm 84. Psalm 84. Now, this is what I'm getting ready to read. What we're getting ready to see here. It's going to be a challenge for a lot of people. Look at it. Verse 4. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. Now, look here. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. Now, we could talk about church attendance here. But it's deeper than that. The house of God represents being a part of his family. Let me rephrase it. Blessed is the man, blessed are they, who make as a priority in life a relationship with their father. Blessed are those who dwell in the house. See, there's a... Okay, those of you that, you know, parents, and your kids began to grow up, what happened as soon as they got a driver's license? It was like they disappeared. They'd show up maybe to get their clothes washed, sleep a little bit, get something to eat. And as a parent, what did you want? You wanted them to hang around, right? Just, you know, can't you sit down for 5 minutes? Oh, I got to go. You know, they're waiting for me. We're going to go do this and we're going to do... And, you know, it's like, come back. And, you know, that's the beginning of withdrawal. Because once that starts, basically it never ends. And it results in the empty nest. You know what I'm talking about. But as a parent, you want your kids to hang around. Now, when they leave, are they still a part of the family? Sure they are. Do you still love them? Absolutely. But you want them to hang around the house for a while. You know, they don't want to. But you just want them to be there. It's just like, you know, with Kathy and me. I have an office in the basement. Now, that has been a point of contention from time to time. I don't get down there and play computer games. Seriously, I do not play computer games. None. There are no computer games that I play. Zero. And I'm down there. I'm usually always... I mean, it's something for ministry. Well, I sometimes don't come up until 10 o'clock. Now, don't yell at me, okay? Because she's at home throughout the day sometime, and we see each other, you know, hey, how you doing? Who are you? We see each other in passing, that kind of a thing. But anyway, there are times she says, you know, can't you come up at 7 o'clock? It's 8 o'clock. You know, it's 9 o'clock. She'll come to the steps, she goes, are you coming up here? It's like, what for? No, I don't do that, no. Are you coming up here? Well, and I'm trying to figure this out. It's like, well, what do you want? Well, I want you to come up here and be with me. It's like, well, I don't want to watch these stupid shows on people trying to buy a house and all this goofy. I don't want to watch this. That's dumb. That's boring. I don't want to watch that. There's, you know, it's either football or wrestling, okay? That's it. Now, I'm joking about the wrestling, but I'm not about the football. And I said, I don't want to watch this stuff. She says, that's not the point. I just want you to be here in the same room with me. Okay? Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. It's one thing to be born again. It's another thing to hang around Dad. He says, boy, you hang around. Daughter, you hang around. Just hang around. Just hang around, and you will be blessed. Well, what kind of blessings? Again, what difference does it make? If it's coming from God, it will be to my benefit. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. In other words, I hang around. I just be there with him. He says, I'm blessed. Now get this. Those blessings apparently are so good that I will just automatically, a reflex action, praise him for what's happening. They will be still praising you. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, whose heart are the ways of them. In other words, blessed is the man who depends on the Lord for strength to do anything. For ability to do anything. Worst thing you can do if God wants you to do something is try and tell him you can't. Remember Moses tried that? But I can't talk very good. Well, then use your brother. Well, I can't this. And I get, finally, God, man, the steam's coming out of his ears. He says, you don't get this, do you? I'm God. I'm sending you. I will equip you. Even in your lost condition, I will equip you enough to do what I'm sending you to do. Well, here we are. Praise God. His children. I am blessed if I make a decision to humble myself and say, I can't do this without you. I need your help. I need your strength. I need whatever it is you can do to empower me, to enable me, just to live. When I admit that and I trust Him for the strength for everything, He says, well, not only will you be strengthened, you will be blessed. Blessed is the man who does this. All right, let's look at another one. Psalm 94. Psalm 94, verse 11. The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Okay, that's not too encouraging. It's like God is saying, you know what? You think more of yourself than you ought to. You think more about you than what you need to. However, blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teacheth him out of thy law. In other words, get this. I'm blessed if I get a whooping from God. If God spanks me, if God doesn't spoil the rod with me, I'm blessed. I don't want to be blessed. You know, we talked about that somewhat in the baby dedication this morning. You know, this hurts me more than it hurts you. Well, here's God saying, look, if you'll submit to me as I chasten you, you're going to be blessed. Now, get this. This sounds kind of weird. Best thing we could do, run to God and say, chasten me, O Lord. Well, He says you'll be blessed. Now, here's the thing. You go to Him and say, look, if there's anything about me that needs to be chastened, all right, let's do it. Because number one, when you do it, I know you're going to do it out of love. You're not going to abuse me. And you're not going to physically beat on me, okay? So whatever the chastening is, and however you administer it, okay, now that means it's going to be for my good. You're not going to hurt me. You're not going to abuse me. Therefore, if I need chastening, Father, I come before your throne of grace to obtain mercy and grace in this time of chastening. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit be digged for the wicked. I like the pit being digged for the wicked part. He says, listen, I'm trying to help you out here. If you'll let me chasten you and correct what needs to be corrected, you're going to be blessed. But at the same time, you're going to have rest from the days of adversity. Now, I don't know about you, but do you think we're headed into days of adversity in this world? I think so. He's saying, I'll give you rest in the days of adversity. That means just like with Israel. Remember there in Egypt and all that bad stuff's happening over in Egypt? You know, there's darkness and everything else. And there they are, land of Goshen, everything's fine. They're okay. I will dwell in the spiritual land of Goshen. I will be protected. And he says, for the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. You are the inheritance of God. Man, think about that. He says, you're his inheritance. He says, you think I'm going to mess up my inheritance? Uh-uh. No, I'm going to do everything I can to correct you, to chasten you, so that I can bless you, give you rest in the days of adversity, and then extend protection around you. I will not turn my back on you. Blessed is the man who is these verses, praise the Lord. Look in Psalm 112. Psalm 112. Verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. In other words, if God says, this is right, do it. This over here is wrong, don't do it. We should rejoice in this. Delight in it. There are far too many Christians who take issue with God saying something in His Word about, you shouldn't do this over here. Yes, but that's just how I am. That's my personality. That's what I like to do, etc., etc. On and on it goes. Instead of defending what God says don't do, just admit, you know, it's going to take some adjustment here on my part, but praise God, I delight in this. Why? Why should I delight? Because I'll be blessed. I will be blessed. I won't be able to stop the blessings. I will be blessed in this. And not only that, but my seed shall be mighty upon the earth. Now, here's where some people get wacky, and they'll say, well, see there, have a need, sow a seed. Your seed shall be mighty upon the earth. No, no, that's not talking about my offerings. It's, all right, the sower sows the word. That means when I am submitting and doing verse 1, then as I am acting in obedience to His commandments, the seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. In other words, what's going to happen, there's like a trickle-down effect. It's going to extend into my home, my household, my children. You want to know how to bless your children? Do this. Live this way. And God's hand will be upon them as well. But not only that, verse 3, wealth and riches shall be in His house, and His righteousness endureth forever. Wealth and riches will be in His house. I will have increase. Bottom line, wealth and riches will be in my house. Well, praise God. You know, that's kind of a selfish motive. You know what I'm saying? Just to get wealth and riches. But He says it'll happen. Well, hallelujah, I'll be a millionaire. Man, stop thinking about being a millionaire. Seriously, just toss that aside. Just say, okay, look, I don't know how to define wealth and riches. I know what God has on His heart and in His mind. But you know what? If I do this, I know I'll be blessed. I'll be blessed. Now, here's the kicker. You do all of this, and you develop that relationship with God, you're going to stop thinking about all the money. You're going to stop thinking about all the gold and the silver and the cattle on a thousand hills. You'll stop thinking about all that. You'll be praising God for the revelation of His presence, His glory, His love, His very person in your life. Let's look at another one. Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. And start in verse 33. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. So I need to hear His instruction and be wise and not refuse His instruction. I need to hear what He has to say. You know, from time to time in a sermon, I'll say something like, now you can get upset with me if you want, but this is what God has said in His Word. The reason I say that sometimes is because I'm feeling resistance, and that there's some people who are, well, I don't believe that. Well, that's just not the way I'm going to do it. Well, I'm just not going to. And then they start rising up against it. And that comes out as a reminder. It's like, listen, guys, this isn't about me. You know, you need to stop looking at the lips out of which this is being read, and you need to consider the source of what is being read. This is not about me. And boy, there's a lot of Christians, they forget this. And they get mad at the pastor because the pastor is showing things from the Word of God that God has said do or don't do or whatever. And then, you know, they get all upset. Well, you know, he's just trying to control people's lives. Now, wait a second now. Hold on. You need to understand, if God said something in His lie, in His Word, that means it's a path unto life. That means He's leading you into freedom here. And until you do this, you're actually living in a form of restriction. Well, He says right here, hear instruction and be wise, and refuse it not. even if you don't understand it, even if you can't figure out, well, why in the world would God say a thing like that? Even if you just don't, it just goes against everything you've ever heard, even if it means you have to adjust your lifestyle or whatever, I don't know. He says, hear instruction, be wise, refuse it not. Well, why do I need to do that? Well, for one thing, because I said it. However, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. The image of this is, I'm waiting, God. Talk. Here I am. I want to hear you. I'm waiting. I'm not just rushing by. I'm waiting. I'm pulling up a chair and I'm waiting. I'm standing here waiting for instructions. I'm waiting. You tell me. And sometimes God will just see how long you wait. He'll wait on you to wait on Him while you're waiting on Him. He just wants you to develop patience waiting on Him, to trust Him, knowing He will always come through. Always. So He says, look, you're going to be blessed if you'll wait on Me, watching daily at My gates, waiting at the post of My door. And not only that, if you do this, you're going to experience more of My life. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You're going to experience more of My life and, now look here, shall obtain favor of the Lord. That means His favor will go before you and make a way. You will be walking in the favor of God in your business dealings, in your relationships. His favor is going to go before you. I want His favor. I don't know about you. I want all His favor I can get. Well, look over in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. There's a blessing. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Things will be added to your life. Things will be added to your life, meaning on top of what you already have. All these things will be added unto you. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God. There are a lot of people, Christians, don't even know what it means to be in the kingdom of God. They don't understand that from a spiritual perspective, we have, well, how can I say this? In the natural, basically, we have three dimensions. You know, height, width, and depth. In the realm of the Spirit, now I know this isn't, you know, exactness. In the realm of the Spirit, there are two dimensions. Power of darkness, kingdom of God, right? When we got born again, we got translated out of one dimension into another. Now, spiritually, we're living in the dimension of the kingdom of God where there is no evil. There's no sickness. There's no disease. There's only purity. There's only divinity. There's only God. There's only everything about who He is. That's the kingdom of God. Okay, now, we're a part of that. We weren't a part of that until we got born again. Therefore, once we got born again, we were transported into this new dimension called kingdom of God. Well, if you've never been there, how do you know how to live? How do you know what to do? How do you even know there's really been a change? Well, I just feel different. Well, praise God you feel different. Let's see what you feel like 3 months from now. You still think you're going to feel different? I hope. The point I'm getting at, when you figure out how to live in the kingdom, you're learning how to live as Jesus lived. You know, when we read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we should not just sit back and scratch our heads and try to figure out, how could he be like that? How could he be like that? We should be saying, that's me. I mean, not the fullness of it yet, but that's where I'm headed. I'll be like that too. Because I'm in the same kingdom, the kingdom of God's dear Son. I'm in the same kingdom, and I can now conform to the King of the kingdom. That image. Therefore, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And guess what? All these things will be added unto you. That's a kingdom law, and you can't stop it. It's going to happen. It's a guarantee. Look at one more. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. This one kind of sums it all up, I guess. Verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If you're a doer of everything that we've read tonight, plus all we haven't read, if you're a doer more than a hearer, God says, you're going to be blessed in your deed. Well, what deed? What does it matter? Because if you become a doer of the word, the deeds you do will not be in opposition to God. You're not going to have to worry about, well, is this a good thing or a bad thing? Because if you're a doer of the word, you end up doing word things. You do kingdom things. You do will of God things in your life. If you become a doer of the word and not just a hearer only, God says you will be blessed. You'll be blessed. Can't stop it. See, the moment that God opens His mouth and speaks, He sets things in motion. And you can't stop it. Now, you can avoid it. You can get out of the way of it. You can miss it. But you can't stop it. Because the moment you get in line with it, it happens. You know, He opened His mouth and He said, whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He set that in motion. And now, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, guess what? You get saved. You can't not get saved. When you call upon the name of the Lord, you get saved. Likewise, all these things we've read in here, when you become a doer of these things, and I mean you, me, every one of us now, when we become doers of what God has said in His Word, He says you will be blessed. In other words, He said, it's like He's saying, okay, now, I want you all to be doers of My Word. And not only that, but I am releasing blessings from within My kingdom out there to you. I am releasing blessings. Now, these blessings are released. And they are directly connected to being a doer of the Word. If you will do the Word, these blessings will take place in your life. It's an automatic. I have set it in motion the moment I spoke it. Therefore, I have a God who cannot lie. He says, your blessings are guaranteed if you do this stuff. Now, we've read several verses here tonight. And have you noticed that not one of them has anything to do with an offering? Not one. And there are a bunch of others we could have looked at as well. Not one of them has anything to do with an offering. Every one of them has everything to do with our relationship with the Father. And He says, you work on the relationship. Now get to know Me, seek Me, trust Me. You know, let Me be your strength. I mean, all these things we've seen here tonight, He says, you do this, and I have already set in motion blessings that go with it. You're going to be blessed, and there's nothing you can do. You can't stop it. It's unavoidable. Well, here's the thing. We can approach this from the perspective of, well, I want the blessings. I mean, I want all these blessings. So I'm going to do all this for the blessings. But then the more we do them, the more we stop thinking about the blessings, whatever they are, and we begin to realize the greatest blessing is knowing Him. The greatest blessing is just to sit there in Daddy's lap and feel His love and hear His heart beating my name.
Boy, that is the blessing. But he loves us so much, he says, yeah, you're right. But you still get the other as well. You get the cake and the icing, and you get to eat it too. Hallelujah. This is how your blessings are guaranteed. Praise God.